B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
That's going to be tough.
People are talking about that. It is. It is. I think the average is over five on catches out of the backfield.
Yep.
So,
You're absolutely right on that, because he's one of those guys that, you know, he's going to be everywhere on the field, and Brady targets him a lot because he's so successful and doing what he, you know, coming out the backfield and playing the slot and, you know, wherever they put him.
Whose assignment is James? You know, I hate to harp so much on James White because, of course,
Nate Gary.
Yes,
who would be
Nate
covering
Gary?
Nate Gary.
Yes,
Nigel Bradham if he's healthy.
No, we don't want Nigel. We don't want Nigel.
I don't know.
If anybody, we want Nate Gary. We're talking about a smaller size guy.
He's former safety.
You know, he's actually one of the, you know, the new linebackers that they have in the NFL these days. They like to use somebody that's, you know, a little more athletic, that can run around a little more. And I'm gonna tell you the truth, Nathan has played pretty well these last couple weeks.
No, I think he has, too, and thanks for the call.
Thanks,
like
man.
I said, former safety is definitely a guy that can be sticking with a guy like James White, to the best of his ability, at least. 610-632-0975. You are listening to 97.5 The Fanatic, WPN Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. You know, there's some negative vibes in the air because of Myles Garrett last night. Patriots are in town. It's not an overwhelming majority thinking that the Eagles are going to win. So when you need a little optimism, when you need some smiles, you know what you do?
What's
you talk
that?
To John Dorenbos, the man that inspires happiness himself. John Dorenbos, how are you, brother?
Totally rock star, man. Thanks for having me on.
Are you kidding me, man? We would love having you on. You, like, I know you do a lot of work with Ellen DeGeneres, and you guys do great stuff there. You're always inspiring smiles, man. You have a book out right now that's going to be helping people out. Tell me about that.
You cut out there. Sorry.
Sorry, but no, I said that you have a book coming out right now that's going to be helping some people out. Tell me about the book.
Oh, you know what? So, it's my life journey, and I've been through a lot in this world, and it's a book on how I've come to terms with reality, how I found forgiveness, and really how I stay on track.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's an incredible story, man. It's wild. If you've encountered anybody who's gone through tragedy, and not too many people have been through what you've been through, and you still keep the positive attitude that you have. Actually, Barrett Brooks and I, who's in studio with us today, John, has been talking about this, and we just talked about this at the break. People that have been through such bad, awful, horrific moments in life, but still keep that positive attitude, you're the shining image of that.
Yeah, so a lot, there's people that know my story, and my father murdered my mother when I was 12.
Damn.
And, you know, I went through years of therapy. It was super intense. You know, we viewed my mom's autopsy photos to have closure, and we took the road less traveled. But it was funny when my daughter was born weeks prior, I wanted to sit down and have lunch with my dad. And when I sat down and had lunch with him, I'd never said three words out loud, and I'd never said, "I forgive you." And I wanted to find motivation in literally the worst thing that's ever happened in my life. And I did. And so I sat down with my dad for 5.5 hours. And at the end of it, I said, "Hey, I forgive you for being lost. I forgive you for making a mistake." And the way I looked at it is, if I can leave this dysfunctional relationship, if I can completely have closure with every aspect of my childhood and every aspect with the emotional scarring, and instead of having resentment and bitterness, and instead of making an excuse why I'm going to be a deadbeat dad, why not relive that and think about everything it should have been and everything I wished it was, and now go be that for my daughter? So the reason I went there to have closure and forgiveness to find motivation to be a better husband and to be the father that I never had to my daughter.
John, you are a better man than I, my friend. It is such an inspiring story, and it shows definitely the power of forgiveness, my man.
Yeah, it's the book's wild. If you're having trouble finding closure, if you're having trouble finding forgiveness, if there's something in your life that's hindering you, I really think that the things that I've told myself, the power of positive thinking, intentional living, and the things that I wrote in my book could either help you or someone you know, and that's the reason I wrote it.
Life is Magic?
That's it, baby. You can get it on lifeismagic.com, or you can go to Barnes & Noble's or anywhere books sold. Mm. And I appreciate it, man.
Can you talk to me a little bit? Because also, later in your career, obviously, the unfortunate situation, Eagles trade you here in Philadelphia, for us, unfortunate situation. Eagles trade you to the Saints, and you find out that you have basically a hit on the field could have cost you your life, and you come back from that as well.
Yeah, so keep in mind, I'm 37 years old, right? I just signed a 3-year extension for more money than I've ever seen. I just got newly married. Like, life was great. I get traded to New Orleans. You know, it's a new energy. Got to reprove myself. And I find out that, hey, you're never playing football ever again. You're going to be in emergency open heart surgery in 48 hours. And I got angry and bitter, and all of a sudden I became the victim. And then I remembered it's the words that we tell ourselves that are going to dictate the life. And so I remember that I had the wind beneath my wings as an eagle, and my mom's best friend sang wind beneath my wings at her funeral. And so now all of a sudden I can fly higher than an eagle because you are the wind beneath my wings. And here my career in Philadelphia, I was an eagle.
And that's Psalms 91?
Say it again?
And that's Psalms 91?
Yeah. And then
I got you, bro.
And then all of a sudden, you know, I was traded to New Orleans, and the guy that walked by me was Drew Brees. And so I realized that in that moment, don't have bitterness and anger, and realize it's a sign that I had the wind beneath my wings, and all I had to do is step out and catch a breeze. The breeze is my breeze.
Yeah, so
if you change the story in your own head of why you're doing it, and then not only that, whether you're religious, spiritual, or not, I was traded to New Orleans to have my life saved by a saint. So these are the ways I look at life. These are the ways that I get closure. These are the ways that I make sense of my own story and why things are happening. And you know what? It allows me to stand up, pick my head up. It allows me to be proud, and it allows me to find motivation in defeat. And I think when you do that, you're going to make the world a better place. And my book, I'm hoping, will make the world a better place for my daughter when I'm long gone.
Man, that's incredible, man, your story, man. But, I mean, even you know, on a lighter side, bro, tell people how you signed, I mean, how you played football, how you got into, you know, college. When you said that listen to this.
Yeah.
All right, so here's what happened. I was a good player, right? No scholarship. So I went to the worst junior college in America. They were 0-30. We lost another 10. We were 0-40. Not a lot of guys getting recruited out of an 0-40 school. So I basically make my highlight tape, and it's good. And I snapped a little bit in high school, so I threw some of that film on there. Look, this before the internet, before HD. And so I was like, you know what? This dude, Nick Heinley, I was 47. He was number 48. This dude hit harder than anybody I've ever played with. Still to this day, he's the one dude I feared going against. So I took some of his big hits and just put it on my film. And hold on, hold on. Then we had this dude, Tim Thurman, right? 6'8", long snapper, killing it. And I was like, well, that looks important. That's better than I was in high school. I'll just take some of his snapping and I'll put it on my film and we'll send it today. But now, the reality is this. No HD, no internet. So as long as we were all white dudes and we looked kind of the same, who's the wiser?
Now, John, I have heard this story. I never knew you took plays of another guy.
Yes.
Another guy. I knew you took plays of the guy snapping the football. I didn't know you took plays of the tackles.
Yeah, it happened. But I had footage of myself. I had footage of me as a long snapper. I just borrowed some other footage. And then my buddy was at UTEP, and he was they needed a long snapper, so he's like, yeah, and the coach showed him, and he had played with me in high school in JUCO, so he's like, yeah, he's a good player, but he also played with Nick and Tim, so he was like, wait, what the heck's going on? And now, look, here's the difference. At the time, I didn't feel like I was lying or being deceitful. I knew I was a good player, and I knew I could do it. I just had to get in the door.
Right.
I knew I was better than some of the guys around me. I just wasn't getting the looks.
Mm-hmm.
So it was about creating opportunity.
Exactly. It was a matter of a lack of film. That's all. You could do everything there. You needed their editing skill. That's all.
Well, you know, that's the power of dreaming. I dreamed that play just like that every single time. So it happened to you. Yeah.
But you know what? But what you just said. That's life, man.
Yep.
If you don't want it, ain't nobody going to give it to you.
No question.
You want to know, hey, you ready for this? If you want to hack my email, break into my garage, whatever you want. It's where I'm going to be in 5 years. I remember when I first got divorced. This is actually funny. When I first got divorced, my passwords all changed to free at last. what am I going and what am I doing, right? So I believe that, dude. The power of intentional thinking, man. Think positively. Don't listen to yourself. Don't doubt yourself. And when those times come, change the words in your head to find motivation. And when you do that, and you show up every day on time and ready to work, you're going to find greatness. Because I'm going to tell you this. My teammates will tell you, I was not the best. I was not the most athletic. I was not the fastest. But I knew I'd get the job done because I knew I believed in myself to show up every day, to do the process, to be on time. And I was going to get the job done. And I didn't tell myself anything different.
No question, man. I feel you, man. I was the same way, man. I wasn't the most athletic. You know, I was probably the best looking guy, but I wasn't the most athletic guy out there, man. I'm the fastest, strongest guy. But hell, you let me tell it. I was that guy, bro. I played 12 That's years right. because of that, man.
Yeah, well, we know you weren't the most humble.
John, the book is Life is Magic, My Inspiring Journey from Tragedy to Self-Discovery. It's incredible. Wherever books are sold, definitely check it out. I have to ask you this because I think the last time I saw you, John, was in Minnesota. The Eagles had just won the Super Bowl. You were celebrating with the team. Absolutely incredible. And now the Patriots are back in Philadelphia. How are you feeling about Sunday?
One, every time I get a chance, I'm going to thank Mr. Lurie, the organization, the city for giving me a ring. It was the coolest thing in the world. And what it symbolizes for me is far more than just that single game. But to come back, the team said, hey, you want to be an honorary captain? So I'm like, dude, I'm going to go back on the field, see some of my guys. I'll go out for the coin toss and, you know, probably now I'm going to talk about the glory days, right? So yeah. I'm super stoked. And this will be the first game I've been to in a while. So it's exciting to be back.
Yeah, man. So you will be there on Sunday.
I'll be there, man.
Oh, look.
And you know what? We're going to be at the team store. They're selling books, signing books. So I'll be around doing events around there. And, hey, come up to me, say hi. Look forward to meeting all the fans and hanging out.
Definitely. You can follow John Dorenbos, John Dorenbos, J-O-N, John Dorenbos, on Instagram. Make sure he's a great follow. You still do your magic shows and all that stuff. You are such an inspiration. And your wife, Anna Liza, is your wife's name?
Annalise,
I'm sorry. I've met her before a couple of times. She's the sweetest person in the world. And congratulations on your daughter, man. That's the most beautiful thing ever.
Hey, and tomorrow night I'm at Borgata at the Music Box. Cool venue. I think 7 sold out, but there's the 10 o'clock still available. So 2 shows tomorrow night. Come hang out with me.
All right, sounds good. At Borgata tomorrow night. John Dorenbos, thanks so much, man. You're beyond an inspiration. Congratulations on all your success.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. John Dorenbos, ladies and gentlemen. Like,
bro, that's crazy, isn't it, man?
I got to tell you this story. I was supposed to interview John a couple of years ago in the Eagles locker room, and I had set up through email. John and I were emailing back, and then on the last email, I didn't hear back from him, which was weird. So I go in the Eagles locker room, and I hear, hey, Mark, and I turn around, and John Dorenbos is sitting in his locker completely naked.
And he What's up with you and naked guys, man?
What are you talking about? Something with me naked?
Yeah, man, that's a loaded question.
Wait, what the hell? What's that?
All I know is it got rulers. And I mean, every time I hear a story from you in that locker room, it's about a ruler or some naked guy, bro.
No, the ruler's...
Whoa. Arjun said, I'm glad Twitch caught your moment of panic. You were like,
no, the ruler's something else.
Naked guys and rulers. How far is that?
In a locker room, there are nude men. And the ruler has nothing to do with me. I am not involved in Rulergate, all right? That was something I witnessed and will never speak of because I can't speak of it.
Stop, man. I'm supposed to be doing a radio show, not laughing, man. This is not comedy. Come on, man.
So anyway, John Dorenbos, you freak, is just sitting there completely naked. And he's like proudly naked. You know what I'm saying? Like he's just like trying to call my
attention.
All
I can imagine is you're going to say, and then you pulled out the ruler.
No! See? Barrett, now people's minds wander to places they shouldn't be. It's not even an actual ruler, what the player was talking about.
It's a magic wand.
By the way, these are quotes.
Where did you pull that magic wand from, man?
There's no magic wand!
Oh, no.
Now there's a web, the tangled web. All right.
Just say Dorenbos had clothes on, all right?
I don't know how to explain this.
So Dorenbos calls you over.
He's completely naked.
All right.
And he's like, Jay, you wanted to speak to me? And now at this point, he has stood up just completely naked. And I'm like, all right, John, I'm good. Don't worry about it. We'll talk later. And he's like, oh, is this weird? Is this bothering you? And he grabbed like a washcloth and just like made it his loincloth. He was like, what was that email about? I forgot the last one. I'm like, John, we'll just talk later. See you, buddy.
So where did the ruler come into play?
Ruler happens. It was not a ruler. It's a tattoo.
Yardstick.
All I can
Take
say
measure?
Is it's not an actual. It's nothing.
Yardstick.
It's not actual. Nothing of the sort. It's a certain person's tattoo. It's all I can say about it. That they were talking about, and that's it. There was no like measuring contest that you're alluding to, Barrett. You sick freak maniac. Now the questions I'm going to get.
I'm crying, man. I'm crying, bro.
You're a sick maniac.
You got me, man. Come on, man. I'm supposed to be doing radio right
now. So you went hunting with Brett Favre, right? You went hunting with Brett Favre one time? That's kind of cool. I bet you they did. You got to measure what you know, your game and all that stuff.
All right, man.
What?
We'll get it after the break.
Oh, no, we go till 23, my friend. We got another 9 minutes.
Well, long story long, you know, I get to Green Bay. Uh-huh. And this offensive line, man, these guys have played together for 5 years. I'm the only outcast coming in, you know. And needless to say, I don't get to go play any of the Reindeer games with the offensive line. So, you know, Brett Favre sees this, you know, so he cracks a joke, and now all the guys like me. And I say, all right, you know what, Brooksy? I want you to go hunting with me. I said, when
real quick, Brett Favre made a joke to you, and that made everybody else on the offensive line respect you.
Yeah, let me start. So we're you know, like this. This is my second or third week being there. We go to play. What was it? The Panthers. We go to play the Panthers. Now this is in September, and it's hot as hell. It's about 100 some degrees out there. So we're on a field, and Rivera. He gets, you know, he gets knocked out of the game. Something happens, you know, so he has to go out the game for a little while. So when he goes out, I come in, I'm guard. So I get there, and the offensive line still doesn't like me. So I'm like, all right, they're not going to speak. So we'll make a call, Ray Big, Ray Big. And I say Ray Big, and they look at me like, and they ain't to give me any feedback. I need to know they heard what I said. They don't tell me nothing. We get to line, so he sees that. We come back to the next play. Now it's Luke. They still don't, you know, say anything to me, don't respond to me. You know, so after a while, we're sitting in the huddle, right? So Brett Favre sees, he looks at me and said, hey, Brooksy, I wish it was snowing outside. I said, what? He said, I wish it was snowing outside. You know, he's country's a box of cornflakes. I said, why do you wish it was snowing? It's 100 degrees outside. What are you talking about? So we could track them dogs that pooped in Frank Renner's mouth. 2 Jet on 3. Ready? Break. And then, you know, I'm laughing, goes, like, what is he talking about? So I get to the line. Now I call Liz. Then it goes down the line, Liz. So since he accepted me, now they accept me. So, all right, let me push it forward now. Long story long.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I said, Brett is country's a box of cornflakes. So he said, all right, hey, Brooksy, why don't you go hunting with me? I was like, what are you talking about? I don't go snipe hunting and all. That's like fake hunting. No, we're going to go hunting. I said, all right, then when you want to go? Wednesday. I said, we got practice on Wednesday. What are you talking about? We're going to go Wednesday. I said, all right, Brett, you tell me what to do. Dude calls me at 2:30 in the morning. Hey, let's go. I said, what are you talking about? Just dress warm. Dude, I go there, man. We're at this little plane. He got a little crop dusting plane. We get on this plane. We fly like maybe an hour up the way into Canada. We're out there hunting, dog. We don't shoot anything or anything like that. All I know is I'm carrying a gun. I don't know how to use the gun. We're just walking. I'm walking with this damn gun. We don't see anything. All right, we get back on the plane. Vroom, vroom. I make it back to practice. Back to the stadium where we practice at. It's like maybe 8:30. I walk into the meeting at 9 o'clock. I done went damn hunting on a Wednesday before practice for 2.5 hours with Brett Favre. Come on, man.
That's insane.
That's just the way he is, man. But also, I was renting a car. So as I'm renting a car, you know, I'm tired of paying for the rental car. Well, this is when H2 Hummers first came out.
Oh, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, the company of one of the car stores, the car places up there, gave him one of those Hummers to drive around. And you got to know Brett. Brett has this F250 mm-hmm. that he drives. I mean, it has been washed in probably about 5 years. It's got dip cups everywhere. You know, I mean, it's just nasty. Never been washed or anything. But that's what he likes to drive. So I say, hey, Brooksy, why don't you drive this for me around town? You know, because I'm supposed to be driving it, but I don't like it. So I drove for an entire season because he didn't want to drive it, man. A yellow H2.
Wow.
That's how good of a dude he is, man.
Did he give you gas money, too?
I wouldn't go that far.
What a jerk. Did he give you gas money for that thing, man? Filling it up every mile. No, that's incredible, man.
Great guy, man. He was a great guy.
Let's get to Jake in Villanova. Jake, what's up, buddy?
How's it going?
Hey, man.
I was kind of worried as the Eagles season went along. Not so much anymore. They seem to be clicking. Defense seems to be, you know, grinding it out. But I don't know how it's going to go this Sunday. It kind of seems like they got the Frankenstein monster of a roster just bringing in players that are barely cold.
Speaking about Jay Ajayi, Jordan Matthews as well. Yeah, it's a tough one. And look, if you're a betting man, I would bet that Jordan Howard does not play in this game. If that's what they're bringing in a guy like Jay Ajayi, who we all kind of dismissed 2 weeks ago of even the idea of bringing him in, they're bringing him in for a workout today, supposedly. We'll see what happens, but that's not a good sign for Jordan Howard.
No, and look, it seemed kind of weird that they, you know, didn't bring in LeSean McCoy in the offseason. You know, because that was a big piece that was out there, and they never even thought about it. Mm-hmm. That's enough of my football talk. I'm kind of got the check engine light going on with the Sixers.
And you should.
I'm kind of confused what's going on.
Yeah, you thought they'd be better, right? You thought the guys like would improve, and Joel Embiid would look in shape, and Ben Simmons would have a little bit of a mid-range game. We haven't seen any of it.
I'm watching this game, and these guys are chucking up 43s just trying to figure it out.
Yeah, that's another thing that hasn't changed.
That's driving me insane. But what would you guys think about them going for Andre Iguodala in a trade, trying to get a veteran presence who can actually shoot a three?
He's not necessarily a shooter. No, he's not a shooter at all. That'd be like defeating. That'd be like bringing in two other guys we already have here.
Yeah, but his shot improved when he was.
He is not a good 3-point shooter. You're not getting Andre Iguodala to be a 3-point shooter. A leader, a defensive guy, maybe. You're not getting him to be a shooter.
We got two of those guys already.
They seem to need some defensive presence because their defense that's supposed to be amazing doesn't even seem to be panning out. Mm.
Yeah, no, thanks for the comment. Iguodala's shooting did improve with Golden State after he left here. That doesn't mean it's good.
No,
Still wasn't a 40% three-point shooter when he was out in Golden State. So that's not what you want to bring in here. Defense, leadership, yeah, let's party. Ali in Mount Laurel, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Ali?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, man.
How you guys doing?
Great, good.
So I know you guys talked about this a lot, but I just had to comment on it real quick. That hit last night, that's probably like the most disgusting thing I've ever seen watching football. Like, I just turned to the channel too because the game sucked majority. Because, you know, Rudolph threw like 4 picks. I'm just like, all right, this game's not going to be good. But then just those last couple of seconds, I just never seen that before. And like, that guy better get suspended for the rest of the season, you know?
6 games left in the year for the Browns. He's done for the year at least. Likely a suspension will at the very least leak into next year. But you listen to him after the game, there's like no apology. He doesn't make excuses for himself. He acknowledges what happened, but that's just egregious. I mean, there's people saying, oh, well, it was a fight. You know, what do you expect? Well, I expect if it's a fight to be a fair fight, not a guy taking another player's helmet off and then hitting him with it.
Yeah, like there's no class in that. If I can make this Eagles point real quick.
Go for it.
I mean, with Alshon possibly being out, I really don't see how. I was already hesitant with us already winning this game, but with Alshon possibly going to be out and Jordan Howard, like, you know, being limited. And, you know, I like the idea of bringing Jay Ajayi back. I mean, a couple weeks ago, like you guys were talking about, I was like, yeah, I don't want to bring him back. But if Howard's not going to be in there, then, I mean, what's going to happen? You got to bring somebody else in here. It's just, I'm also hoping the wide receivers could make a play, but I just don't see that happening because they're going to double-team Ertz. I don't know how Goddard's going to do. I hope he does well, but it's ultimately going to come down to the receivers making a play, and I just don't see that happening. But, you know, I trust in Carson. You know, Bill Belichick had a lot to say about Carson. So, I mean, hopefully Carson can pull this one out despite the trash around him. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Ali. Appreciate it, man. Yeah, I think everyone's in that same boat as you are where you want to see the wide receivers make a play, but that's something we've been crossing our fingers for all season long.
I think it's going to have to be somebody out of the box that makes a play, like a linebacker stepping in and getting a key interception on a Brady pass over the middle, a force fumble, you know, similar to the Super Bowl. You needed the defense to make a big play. They did. I'm not going to compare the two games, but I think the defense is going to have to do something. Something special this weekend if they're going to pull this game out.
Absolutely. 610-632-0975, 610-632-0975. Jamie's hot take is that Nelson Agholor steps up and makes a play. My hot take is that Boston Scott makes a play for you.
The Jordan Howard thing definitely concerns me, though.
Yeah, he ain't playing.
Yeah, it doesn't look good.
And it's not just about this game. He might not be playing it with a shoulder injury, but it also looks like if you're bringing in Jay Ajayi, that's
troubling.
Like, for instance, if they sign Jay Ajayi today, does he play on Sunday?
I don't know how you can do that.
Yeah. I mean, knows Barrett, the system,
you
can right?
Speak better than
you,
that.
You would think.
He knows the plays.
He knows the plays, and at this point, he won't be in game-type shape because that's a different type of shape. But at this point, if we don't have Howard there, we need somebody there to facilitate more running. We can't go in there with Sproles and Miles Sanders. Those can't be our two workhorses. You know, we talked about this on Quickslants last week when I compared those two to Ricky Waters and Charlie.
Yes.
And who else said that?
Deuce Daly yesterday.
I mean, I hate to say I told you, but I told you. So. But you know,
you know what? Coming up, you have you told us earlier that Deuce Daly, it reminds me that he ended your career.
Yeah, he did.
All right, so we'll talk about that in a second. We'll also get our final predictions in, obviously, in the last segment of the show a little bit later. Also, don't forget about the Fanatic Deal of the Week. Enjoy one flatbread, one appetizer, two entrees, two desserts for only $49 at Harvest Season Grill and Wine Bar. Purchase this experience now through Sunday. That's this Sunday, November 17th at 975thefanatic.com. Time of the Fanatic is 9:24.
Farzetta and Trey in the Morning.
How's everyone doing? in Philly, though. Feel me?
Gosh, it went great.
All right, so big play for you, Jamie, this weekend. You got Nelson Agholor going for an 80-yard touchdown over the middle.
I don't know about 80 yards, but somebody's going to have to make a play for this team deep. The Patriots expose themselves. You know, the safeties come up in the box a lot.
Boy, a lot of exposing themselves going on in the last half.
Right, exactly.
But somebody's going to have to step up and make a play. And if
Mark's out looking for a ruler.
If they take Ertz out of the game, somebody else is going to have to step up. It could be Dallas Goedert, but I see, in my mind's eye, I see a big play to Nelson Agholor, finally.
Well, that's exactly what I've been saying for this past week. You know, if the case is that Alshon's not going to dress, this has to be where we get Nelly to go out there and step up and make a play. I believe he has all the tools to do it. You know, he's just got to get in that frame of mind and that mindset that he will do it.
Got to get after it. Got to be aggressive. That's all you got to say. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. Real quick, I promise I would get this in. You can't forget about Rodney McLeod, ladies and gentlemen, in his race to 23,000. You can win the ultimate Birds fan experience. Two tickets to the Monday Night Football game on December 9th. Field passes, VIP tour, the ESPN broadcast truck. And also, you get this great deal here with Rodney McLeod, who has set the goal for $23,000 that he's going to raise for the American Association for Cancer Research. First and largest organization dedicated to finding cures for all cancers. Go to 975thefanatic.com/donate to make a donation to Rodney's cause for $23,000. Raise to 23K campaign, and your donation automatically enters you for the ultimate Birds fan experience. Donate today to support cancer research, and you can win this amazing prize pack exclusively from Eagle Safety, Rodney McLeod, and the AACR and 975thefanatic.com. Not too bad right there, huh?
That's a pretty good package.
It's a great package right there. Coming up a little bit later, we'll also name our tool of the week.
Now we're talking about tools.
I'm telling you, I don't know where he went. He got his dirty on for the last hour of the week here.
Don't start me laughing.
That was a recorded
Barrett,
funny
I'm
commercial.
Supposed to be the immature one here.
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah. Back off, you jerk.
I think it's pretty clear who the tool of the week is this week. Don't you think?
Yeah.
Well, like, it's something like this that it's like, is it almost too serious? Because it is assault. Myles Garrett assaulted Mason Rudolph. And for anyone that wants to try to justify Myles Garrett, because I've heard that, like, and I've seen this little bit of a population rising up a little bit and saying, oh, well, Mason Rudolph is trying to take off his helmet. It'll take off Myles Garrett's helmet. It's like, yeah, okay, when did Mason Rudolph hit him with his own helmet? Like, when did that happen? Oh, didn't it? And even if he was going to take off his helmet, was it to hit him in the head? If it's two guys ripping your helmets off and punching each other, hey, that's you got in a fight.
Okay, yeah.
You got in a fight. But when it's another player being held back by another player, and then one player takes a windmill motion and slams another helmet on another player's face, or head, rather, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and say that was calculated.
It might be a crime of passion, though, man. Have you heard of those before? Crime of passion?
Of course, yeah.
Yeah, it might be a crime of passion. Now we're going into crime now.
Right. Well, assault. We had one guy try to call it a hate crime, and we're like, well, I don't know if you know what a hate crime is. But it's not that. That's not an example of it. Let's get to Mitch. And we got two Mitches on the line. Mitch and Phoenix, what's on your mind today?
A crime of passion? Are you joking or
no? No, we had somebody call it in.
Yeah, we had somebody say earlier a hate crime, and we're like, well, no, buddy, I don't know if you know what a hate crime is. But someone was trying to describe it earlier also, something along the lines of getting caught up in the moment, and even that is not an excuse.
No, with 7 seconds left in the game, that was a straight out assault. There was no fight. It's not a crime of passion. It is what it is. It's an assault.
Yeah, no, nobody's disagreeing with you there.
Yeah. And as far as the Eagles are concerned, they need to borrow one or two receivers from the Browns. They probably would willingly give them at least one or two for the Seattle game as well as the Patriot game.
You lost me there. What are you saying about the Patriot game?
Well, the Patriots is the game Sunday. They have no wide receivers to put on the field. Then they're playing Seattle the following week.
Yes.
They have no wide receivers to put on the field. So how do you expect to win a game against two powerhouses like that?
Well, the only way they can do it, and thanks for the call, Mitch, is by using the only strength that they have. That's their tight ends, and that's hopefully getting some big plays from Miles Sanders. And the other thing that goes in the Eagles' favor here is that their defensive line is moving into a very dominant role. That's what we were hoping for at the beginning of the season. You're getting Tim Jernigan back at the right time. Fletcher Cox has been healthy the last couple of weeks. You're coming off a bye. Hopefully that helps him out a little bit more. And you're going to have to go to a NASCAR package when you look at your D-line, Barrett.
You're looking at it. I mean, Brandon Graham has really turned the tables of being inside that three technique in the interiors as opposed to pressure, pass rushing outside. Right. He's putting guys in an awkward position because, you know, usually the guard position, I hate to say it, aren't as athletic as the tackle position.
Right.
So he's making a guy move his feet when he doesn't necessarily want to move his feet, which has put him in an awkward position. So he's found a way now to make guys move, and he's taken full advantage of by turning the corner, using almost the same pass rush he moved on the outside, but kind of, you know, tightening it up a little bit. And he's become a force in the inside at the three technique. That might be something they need to move in as far as being more of their, not just a NASCAR package to rush the pass, but more so a package that they can use just to just create havoc in the inside. Fletcher Cox on one side, you slide to him one-on-one with a guy that's a better athlete going against a guy that's lesser of an athlete. I mean, it worked for them the past two times, the past two games that they used it in, and I can see them doing it as they go forward.
Yeah. By the way, I think I said earlier there was about 90 seconds left. Now, there was 7 seconds left. They snapped the ball at 14 seconds left, and that was, I believe, the third or fourth time that Mason Rudolph had been hit on this play, which, fair game, it's football. So I think he was also fed up with everything. But to recap everything with Myles Garrett, 7 seconds left in that game by the time everything happened.
Yeah. Well, there's no doubt that Rudolph wasn't in a good mood. He'd thrown some interceptions. His team's about to lose, you know, all of that going down. But that's where it ends. I mean, you don't start to say what Myles Garrett did, make excuses for him.
Absolutely not. Mitch in East Windsor, how you doing, brother?
Morning, guys. Happy Friday.
Good, bud.
Yeah. For that, another tough steel call like we had here. But that was pretty ugly. Seeing replays kind of reminds you of... This is before my time. All right. I hope you guys are going to have a good weekend. Back in the day when that giant pitcher went after the catcher with a bat, it's pretty ugly. It's a little similar.
Yeah.
So it's going to be tough punishments are coming up. But it's ridiculous. Neither of these teams are going to make the playoffs. So what's the big ado about this?
Well, the big ado is that Myles Garrett is most likely going to be suspended the rest of the year and at least into next year, if not all of next year.
Cry me a river. That's just bothering me.
Yeah, that's fine with me. Right. I don't care.
Exactly.
That's fine. All right, Mitchie. Thanks for the call, buddy.
Mitch.
Appreciate
all right,
you,
have
brother.
A good one, buddy.
Man, I love that guy.
Yeah.
610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. Come on, we're going to talk to Rajab in Bristol. We'll let you hear it one last time. The full play-by-play of it last night is called by Joe Buck and Troy Aikman on the TV broadcast. And flat out, Joe Buck calls it the worst thing he's ever seen on a field of play.
Yeah.
Like that includes baseball, where he's done a lot of coverage as well, as we know. 610-632-0975. Time at the Fanatic is 9:40.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning. The Fanatic.
Yeah, I think we have to say that the tool of the week is Myles Garrett. Might be one of those things that's too serious, but it did happen on a football field. So I think we have to go with Myles Garrett as the tool of the week. And the tool of the week is brought to you by Hollis True Value and Garden Center. Fall is here. Almost winter. Head to Hollis True Value. When is winter anyway?
December 21st.
Is that really?
The winter solstice.
Is that really that late?
Come on, Mark.
Correct.
You didn't know that?
No.
That's why everybody always complains it's not snowing on Christmas.
I have two seasons. I have hot season and cold season. That's all I got.
Accurate. That's accurate.
I went to Catholic school. We're the same thing every day anyway. It never mattered. Like, it's like, oh, I should bring my jacket today. That's all I got. Anyway, the tool of the week brought to you by Hollis True Value and Garden Center. Fall is here. Head to Hollis True Value and Garden Center in Lafayette Hill to find everything you need for your home, your garden, your project, your party, or tailgate if you need it. Remember, Barrett, Hollis has it. Let's get Rajab in Bristol. What's up, Rajab?
Hey, how's it going?
Good, buddy.
Hey, yeah, I just wanted to make the Eagles point, but I just wanted to comment on the Myles Garrett thing.
Sure.
Actually, I was, what he did was inexcusable, period, point blank. I just happened to watch the video again, and it's lucky that he actually caught him in the head with, like the outside of the inside of the helmet.
Right.
He actually catch him with the actual bowl of the helmet, because Lord knows what would have happened if he actually did catch him with that. So, I mean, I suspect he'll be done definitely for the rest of the year. I'm very surprised if he's still playing this season.
I would guarantee, without talking to sources or anything, he's done for the year. Like, he is done for the year. The question is, how many games next year will this affect?
Yeah, I agree. My Eagles point, I think one of the keys to winning this game is that Doug Peterson, whatever his game plan is, and if it's working, he needs to stick to it. Because that's what almost cost us the game against Chicago. Mm-hmm. I mean, playing well, and then all of a sudden he decides, well, you know, this is just working too well. Let's try something else. It almost cost us the game, you know? So I think that's one of the things, and he did a great job of outsmarting Bill Belichick during the Super Bowl, but that was 2 years ago, you know? So I'm curious to see how it's going to play out. I think they need to focus on the run game because their secondary is just, I mean, that Patriots secondary is just dangerous. So I think that's probably their best bet is to try to run the ball as much as possible.
All right. Thanks for the call, Rajab. Before we go around the horn here and ask for people's predictions, Sam, what are the good people on Twitter saying about this game today for our Twitter poll? Should be this game Sunday, but how they feel about it today looking into the weekend?
Our Twitter poll was brought to you by Window Nation. Take advantage of Window Nation's 50% off sale on all style windows. Plus, make no down payment with no payments and no interest for 12 full months. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com. This morning we asked, will the Eagles win on Sunday? We had just under 2,000 votes. Only 55% said yes, they will.
Not overwhelming confidence, I'll tell you that much. But I do believe the Eagles, for the simple reason that the NFL is weird, will win this game. And I'm going to say they're going to win this game by a score of 17-14. I don't think this is going to be some kind of amazing high-flying game or anything like that. I think it's going to be a borderline slop fest. I don't see either team.
Sounds really accurate.
Yeah, I don't see any team really taking full advantage of the other. I see this being a very good game, come down to a field goal. My bold prediction for this game is that Boston Scott gets into the end zone with a touchdown. But I think it happens because you're going to be using a running back rotation where it's going to be really down to Miles Sanders, Boston Scott, and maybe even Jay Ajayi, who's working out for the team, I think, as we speak. But I see the Eagles winning this game 17-14 with the main reason being the NFL is weird. Barrett, how do you see it breaking down?
I wish it could be a 26-26 tie. But I can't see it that way. And as an analyst, you know, and you know, I'm a homer, man.
But what? You?
I can't be the homer today. I got to, you know, I got to be real about it. And my thinking is because of they have more weapons than we do at this point. You know, they got Mohamed Sanu, you know, and he's his initiative. They went out and got somebody that can help them, even with a draft pick. So I'm going to go 26-24 Patriots.
Did you not hear me say the NFL's weird? Did you miss that?
I saw that.
How did you not have confidence after that?
I heard that. I mean, I got caught up in, you know, everything else that was going on.
I hope at like 8:30 Sunday night I can tweet in big bold letters, the NFL is weird. Like, I just hope I can tweet that. That's my dream tweet for that day.
Yeah.
Bob Cooney, what's your prediction?
Yeah, you're not going to be tweeting that. Sorry, Mark.
Oh, yeah. No, Bobby.
I didn't feel real comfortable about this game going into this week. The more I read up on it, my confidence kind of rose a little bit more on the Eagles side. But now with these injuries, I just don't really see it happening. I'm going 27-20 Patriots.
Goo! Jerry Lynch.
Something's in the air on Sunday. Something is
in the air. Yeah, that's right.
Even if Jordan Howard's out, it shouldn't make sense that they're going to win. They're going to win. I got the Eagles 23, Patriots 17.
All right, Sam Wilson. Wait.
He said, it doesn't make sense they're going to win, but they're going to win.
That's exactly right.
That's my guy, Jamie.
Because the NFL, my guy. It's weird, Barrett.
It's very weird. Barrett, I don't know if you know football or not, but it's weird. Sam, what do you have for us regarding your predictions?
My NFL weird vibes are pointing to next week against Seattle. So I think they lose. It's going to be a close game, and both teams are going to score when they need to, but I think Tom Brady will get the last score. So I'm saying 27-24.
Finally, our big sexy report has to go for my report of finally seeing Lizzo for the first time. And damn, she's sexy.
She a bad bee.
She's sexy. That's brought to you by Delilah's Gentlemen's Club and Steakhouse, always on top. What, no radio-friendly Lizzo version of music?
Wow, man, great Tilly, gotta be great.
Now,
there we go.
Bam!
By the way, everybody's singing today.
I had a request to say Minnesota Vikings one more time, like Lizzo here.
Minnesota Vikings.
That was Sam. That was Sam for the record.
Let's hear yours, Mark.
Bum, bum, dee, da.
Minnesota Vikings. Thank you so much. Sam, what is your takeaway of the day?
I'm sorry, birds. Go, birds, and prove me wrong.
There's the motivation they need.
Yeah.
That's Sam. Hey, that's Sam Wilson. She dialed us. Jamie Litch.
Two part today. One, shout out to Donna Cooney. Donna. Delicious hamburger pie she sent me up this morning. Huh? Leftovers.
You did not share either, Jamie.
No, I wolfed it down.
He didn't share.
What I didn't
know
it did.
What the hell, Donna?
I just housed it. I was going to share, and then
no,
I was like...
No.
It was smelling good,
hell,
too.
It's on me. It's on
Jamie.
Me.
What the hell, Jamie?
Yeah, it's on
me. Jerk.
I'm a selfish,
it was
selfish
smelling
guy.
So good,
first
too.
First off, what kind of Italian is Donna where she only made enough that, like, would feed Jamie?
Yeah, seriously, Donna.
Have you seen the size of Jamie's appetite?
Never mind. Good point.
Shout out, Donna. Secondly, go Birds.
Go Birds. Bob Cooney.
Yeah, if you're in a locker room and you see Mark Farzetta with a ruler,
all right.
Stay away.
There was no ruler. Now I got people hitting me up on Twitch saying, well, that explains your freaky cousin. That's gross.
Oh, runs in the family.
That's
Bob,
gross.
If you want a ruler, Mark's your guy.
Damn you all. Bear Brooks, what's your takeaway of the day?
You guys are weird. Not just...
Thank you. Okay.
Not just football. You guys are weird.
We are weird. 9 o'clock hours brought to you by the Baxter Dumpster in a Bag. Get yours today at Home Depot and Lowe's. For details, go to thebaxter.com. My takeaway of the day is that when we listen to a guy like Ron Jaworski, when we listen to a guy like Scott Zolak, and we listen to a guy like John Dorenbos, you can only really breed confidence that the Eagles are going to win this football game because solely the NFL is weird. Other than that, there are people in this world that will try to justify anything. Even a player taking a football helmet off another player and slamming him in the head with his own helmet. The world is weird, is what I learned today. Have a great day, everybody. Have a wonderful weekend. Stay tuned for the Anthony Gargano Show, middays here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.